Some of them are well known, and I suppose have been preached many times from this same platform. The first one is in John chapter 4. Verse 1. John 4, verse 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto her, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, Go call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that saidst thou truly. The woman saith unto her, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Verse 28. The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city, and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Verse 39. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed on him for the saying of the woman, which testified, He told me all things ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word, and said unto the woman, Now we believe, not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Now, one or two verses in chapter 7. And verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Many of the people therefore, when they heard this saying, said, Of a truth, this is the prophet. Others said, This is the Christ. But some said, Shall Christ come out of Galilee? Hath not the scripture said that Christ cometh of the seed of David, and out of the town of Bethlehem, where David was? And there was a division among the people because of him. and some of them would have taken him, but no man laid hands on him. Then came the officers to the chief priests and the Pharisees, and they said unto them, Why have ye not brought him? The officers answered, Never man spake like this man. In chapter 9, verse 1, And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore, and washed, and came seeing. The neighbours therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, Is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, This is he. Others said, He is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, How were thine eyes opened? And he answered and said, A man that is called Jesus made clay, and anointed mine eyes, and said unto me, Go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. One or two verses in Matthew 27. Matthew 27 and verse 15. Now at that feast, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas, or Jesus which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. And back in John's Gospel, chapter 19. Verse 1. Then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him. And the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head. And they put on him a purple robe and said, Hail, King of the Jews. And they smote him with their hands. Pilate therefore went forth again and said unto them, Behold, I bring him forth to you, that ye may know that I find no fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate saith unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests therefore and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take ye him, and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. Verse 16. Then delivered he them him therefore unto them to be crucified. And they took Jesus and led him away. And he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. I should do for the moment. It's another gospel hymn. 55. How wondrous a Saviour is God's blessed Son. How great and eternal the work he has done. God's glory maintained by his death on the tree, while mercy flows freely to you and to me. How free is the pardon his blood has procured. I just want to read two more verses, but you don't need to turn them up, but they're in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and the end of verse 3. It says, God our Saviour, who will of all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Behold the man. Tonight, dear friend, very simply, you know it's a profound message, the gospel, but very simply, I want to speak about a very special person. Distinct? No, even greater. Unique. A unique man. And search through the history prior to the Lord coming into this world, and you will never find one his equal. Great men and women, but marked in some way by failure. Christ was the one who never failed. Search through the annals of history from the time of Christ to the present day. Many great men and women, wonderful works they've done, but marked by failure in some way. I may have told the story here before, but it came to me early in my Christian experience. I was asked to go to Glasgow, to a very run-down area of Glasgow, to present the prizes at the Sunday School. And I thought I would give the children a lesson in history. And so I'd written down a few names of famous people I thought were famous, and eventually work up to the message of the gospel. So I asked the children, have they ever heard of this name, great man in history? No one ever heard of him. So I went to the next person, worked my way through, still no response. Eventually I said, well, tell me, has anyone ever heard the name of Jesus? And every hand in that room went up. And it taught me a lesson, that the gospel of God is concerning his Son. There's no greater one to present to the sinner than Jesus Christ, the Saviour. We want to speak about the Lord Jesus Christ. We've read the experience of one or two different people. Briefly, we just want to go over their experience. The first woman, she eventually went out with a wonderful message. Come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? And because of her experience, she was able to tell others about him. And so they believed on him because of what she said. But coming into his presence and heard him speak, they too were truly saved, as it were, believers, because they had heard him themselves and able to testify. And many of the Samaritans of the city believed on him for the sake of the woman. But further down it says, now we believe not because of thy saying, but we have heard him ourselves and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Saviour of the world. Christ, the Saviour. You know, I love to present Christ, the Saviour. The gospel is still available. Christ is still available to everyone in this room tonight who as yet don't know him personally as Lord and Saviour. It's a wonderful thing to be able to speak about him as your own personal Lord and Saviour, because you've had a personal experience with him. Now this woman, I'm sure she was maybe caught up in our own circumstances. Some have speculated at what time of day it would be warm and everyone else would be having a nap and she would come out because nobody would want to speak to her. She was obviously not a very nice woman to know. But in her midst was one who knew all about her. And you know the Lord knows about everyone in this room tonight. You may have secrets, you may keep them from your nearest and dearest, but you cannot hide anything from Christ. He's a great revealer of secrets. You may have a burden that's really pressing upon your spirit. You need Christ. You may feel the burden of your sins. You may feel that you're certainly not right with God. You need Christ. Christ is the Savior. And for all these circumstances, Christ is the answer. Christ is the answer. And many of us have proved that Christ was the answer in relation to our sins. You know, I rejoiced the moment God told me that I was a sinner. I rejoiced in the moment when I realized that I could absolutely do nothing about it. But God told me there is one who can do something about it. The one whom I've provided. He is your Savior. He can be your Savior tonight. And you know, I trusted the Lord Jesus Christ down a mine shaft. I could truly say that I was delivered from the horrible pit. But I've never regretted the moment.
Amen.
I met Christ. And you know, I've never met a true believer in Christ. I've never met one who ever regretted the moment they put their trust in Christ. They may have regretted many things in their lives. I've regretted many things in my life. But you know, Christ is not a disappointment.
Amen.
He's the perfect one, the unique one. And you know, this is why we present Christ to you tonight. The one who can meet you in your need. Like he met this woman in her need. But first of all, he revealed to her. She would know all about what type of woman she was. But he revealed to her what she was. He stood in her presence and revealed, it may be from others she held secrets, but she had no secrets that the Lord of glory didn't know about. He knew about it. But he came to meet this woman in her need. And after he revealed to her what she was, truly, indeed a sinner, it says she left her water pot and she went down. Says she went her water, left her water pot and went her way into the city and said to the men, come, see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Come see him. He's told me that I'm really a sinner. I've tried to hide it. Others have seen it. I thought this stranger wouldn't know anything about me. But he told me all my need, all my condition. And she was able to speak in these wonderful terms. Is not this the Christ? And because of her testimony, others wanted to go out and hear it. And you know, it's a lesson that the gospel of God is concerning his son. It's not concerning great men in this world or women. It's not concerning the preacher. We might have a responsibility. Every believer has a responsibility to tell others. But the gospel of God is concerning Christ. We were reminded this afternoon, and it came to my mind earlier in the week, when the Lord had spoken certain things and some couldn't take it in. They couldn't really accept it. And so they departed. It said that they were disciples and they departed. And the Lord said to the rest, will you also go away? Is it in your mind to go with them? And Peter said, Lord, to whom can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Christ is the answer to your every need. He can meet you in your need. And he can set you on your way rejoicing. Rejoicing that you've come to a moment when God has revealed, as it were, what you really are. A sinner in his sight. He tells us that all have sinned and come short of the glory, his glory. He tells us that the wages of sin is death. But thanks be to God that through Christ we can have eternal life. There used to be a preacher, I didn't know him, although I heard that many things about him, I felt as if I knew him. And he used to say, and it was something I was brought up with again, where I used to go out, Portsea, I used to hear it time and time again. He used to say, how much have you got that death cannot touch? How much have you got that death cannot touch? Well, if we were honest, we'd say, well, as regards possessions, I haven't got anything that won't be affected by death. But you know, being a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have something wonderful, because the scripture says, he that hath the Son hath life. Now there's something that death will never affect. It's a gift of God. It's come through the finished work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're going to go on to that very shortly. But what an experience this woman. He met her in her need. Christ was the answer to this woman's need. Come see a man that has told me all things that ever I did. You know, in John chapter 7, we just want really to refer to the statement at the end, never a man spake like this man. What a wonderful message that he brought. You know, men and women are taken up, boys and girls, I suppose we who are, when we're still unsaved, we're taken up with things that we thought were really important. And at the end of the day, they were absolutely worthless. Worthless. We thought they really enjoyed it. No, I rejoiced. Well, I shouldn't say I rejoiced, but I really enjoyed when I started to go to the dancing. You know, I went to the dancing, enjoyed it for a few minutes, a few moments, it felt like a few moments, until, you know, the gospel was presented to me. And I said, you know, I've got absolutely nothing. Nothing of any value. What's dancing? What's entertainment? It might satisfy our own fleshly lusts. But at the end of the day, what have I got that death cannot touch? Until I met the Saviour and brought into such a sphere of blessing, wonderful blessing, death cannot affect it. It may sometimes, I may lose the enjoyment of it sometimes, through things that come into my life. But I can thank God I've never lost the sense of the fact that it was a gift from God, never to be repented of. Never for God to take it back, because it has been purchased at such a price, the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord stands up at this great day of the feast, and he has to shout. Consider the verses where the Lord had to raise his voice. When it came to still in the water, he just spoke. Creation knows its creator. But when it comes in relation to man, he has to shout. So he stood and he shouted, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. You know, Christ can fully satisfy.
Amen.
He can fully satisfy. And of course, at this time, he's speaking about the gift of the Holy Spirit, that they who believe in him would receive. And every believer tonight in the Lord Jesus Christ has that most wonderful gift, the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit brings these words to us, the pages of the scripture to us. We may read them time and time again, and yet they never lose their joy to us, they never lose their character. We rejoice time and time again when we read the scriptures, because the power of the Holy Spirit makes us to rejoice, makes us to enjoy it. But there was obviously those who, for envy, tried to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, at this particular point, they'd obviously sent them out, these officers and that, to take him. And when they came back empty-handed, think of what they said when they asked, why have you not brought him? They said, never man speak like this man. Whether they were affected down to the point where they wanted to be right with God and accept Christ as their Saviour, doesn't say. But you know they were obviously affected in some way. Never man speak like this man. Listen to the Saviour speaking tonight.
Amen.
He speaks in tenderest tones. He wants to bless you. You may feel that, oh well, God doesn't care about my circumstances. We'll read very shortly again. Proof, if proof is needed, that God has a love for your soul. Think of what Christ did when he gave himself at Calvary's cross. And so they said, never man speak like this man. And another man in John 9 had a need. He was blind physically. A picture of those blind spiritually or morally, if you like. What's the answer? Doing one's best? No, dear friend, the work of redemption has been completed. Christ has done it all. There's a hymn in this book. He says, lay your daily doing down. Down at Jesus' feet. Stand in him alone, gloriously complete. Christ has done the work necessary for your blessing and for my blessing. And he met this man, the Lord met this man blind from birth. And of course he cured him of his blindness. The man didn't really know much about the person, but I like what he said. They said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man which is called Jesus. A man which is called Jesus. And just a picture of us, everyone, no doubt, who puts our trust in Christ. We may not be able to tell great depths of truth. We may not be able to expound the scriptures the moment we're saved. But we can tell about the Lord Jesus Christ. A man called Jesus. What a wonderful man. What a wonderful man. And what wonderful blessing he brings. He meets men and women and boys and girls in their need. If you feel any need tonight for salvation, then Christ is the answer. This man called Jesus tells us another place, he shall save his people from their sins. And when we speak about saving and being set right, we must of necessity speak about this man. Because Christ is the Saviour. He is the Saviour. And he was the blesser of this man. He progressed from a man called Jesus to a prophet. And eventually, confession and believing Jesus Christ, the Son of God. What a wonderful person we've got to speak about. And you know, it's personal experience, really. I may be able to tell you my experience when I got saved. Someone else can tell you their experience. It might have been in the quietness of their own homes. It might have been at work or wherever. Everyone has different experiences. But the same Saviour. The same Saviour. And he can meet you in your need. Oh, that you might come to know him personally tonight. As your Lord and Saviour. And be able to speak about him. Maybe not with great flowing words, but the man who was blind didn't speak in great flowing words. He said, a man called Jesus. Wonderful thing that we're able to speak about him. But now, dear friends, I want to speak about the cross. The cross. And in Matthew, we read the words of the wife of Pilate. No doubt Pilate, now we know that he was obviously being pulled different ways. He saw in one the Lord Jesus Christ, one in whom there was no fault, and yet they said, crucify him. Crucify him. But when he was set down in the judgment, he said, the judgment seat, his wife said unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man. For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Because of him. Now, no doubt she may have been well-intentioned, but dear friends, tonight, it's absolutely impossible for you to have nothing to do with him. You can live your life without him. There are multitudes doing this. There are multitudes living their lives without any consideration of Christ. But one day, you'll have to do with him. Whether in time or eternity, you'll have to do with this man, the Lord Jesus Christ. It may be that you can push him to the side, as it were, and have absolutely no regard for him. You'll still have to do with him. You'll still have to do with him. Better to deal with him in time. Suppose it brings you in a collision course with others, your friends, your relatives, the people you work with, the other children at school. Because you put your trust in Christ, it may be that you've been given the cold shoulder. Better to suffer in time, but knowing that Christ is your Lord and Saviour, than to suffer the eternal consequences of refusing him. Yes. He stands tonight a Saviour. Someday, he may be your judge. He may be your judge. Have nothing to do with him? It's possible just to brush him aside. But someday you'll have to do with him. Gathered in time or eternity, sure or sure will the harvest be. Either gathered with Christ above in glory, or gathered at the great white throne, knowing that it's too late. Give your heart to the Saviour tonight. Take Christ as your Lord and Saviour. Some of them, I was trying to quote to one or two the other night there, from a brother known to us, most of us I suppose, King Thompson. I'm sure he stood in this platform a few times. And he said one time, I don't know if he got it from someone else or he made up himself, but he said, as regards time and the brevity of life, when as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a boy I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later, as I older grew, time flew. And still to find while travelling on, time gone. Will Christ have saved my soul by then? Amen. May it be so that you put your trust in Christ while you have time. Gathered in time or eternity, sure, oh sure, will the harvest be. Gathered to enjoy the presence of Christ forever, or gathered to in remorse that you didn't put your trust in him. Because one thing you will have in eternity is your memory. You'll remember the occasions you could have put your trust in Christ but didn't. Dear friends, don't go away from this hall tonight an unbeliever. Put your trust in Christ. This man, this just man, she had suffered many things in a dream because of him. In John 19, again it's continuing the story. when the Lord Jesus Christ stood in the judgment place of Gabbatha. He'd already been to Gethsemane. Here he's at Gabbatha, and very soon he went out to Golgotha, where they crucified him. I've often thought that if anyone ever asked me for a verse that would prove to them that God loved them, we know the famous one quoted, John 3:16. But give me an example that God's love is towards me, and I would point them to verse 17 of John 19. Now think of the greatness of the person, this unique person that we've been speaking about. It says of him, and he, bearing his cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in the Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified him. Think of the greatness of his works, the acts of kindness and blessing that performed. The act to the woman, John 4, the blind man, John 9, the many other miracles that he carried out, men were blessed and women were blessed. But he is the same person, the great blesser, carrying a cross. Carrying a cross. And he bearing his cross. His cross. I could never carry his cross. He was there to complete a work that he only could complete. Although we are reading now the Acts. Of sinful man. But God has taken this act when they crucified him, and God has meant it for good. And because of what he has done when he bore the cross, I am set free from any sense of judgment. I'm saying I in the personal pronoun. I'm saying I because it's a personal thing. Can you say it tonight? When Christ died on Calvary's cross, he was dying there on account of my sins. And because his precious blood has been shed, I am set free from any claim that God could ever have against me, because Christ has borne my judgment. But think of Pilate's words when he again went out. I'm bringing him out because I can't still find any fault in him. Then came Jesus forth, wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe. And Pilate saith unto them, behold the man. One mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The man, Christ Jesus. God's many, that's what men would have you believe. One God. Mediators, that's what men would have you believe. You live religion in this world has various kinds of mediators. One God, one mediator. The man, Christ Jesus. He gave himself for my sins. Can you say it tonight? Can you rejoice that Jesus Christ bore the cross so that you might go free? And when I read such a verse as verse 17 of John 19, I rejoice that such was his love that he was prepared to go the whole way. And as we were reminded this morning, he paid the full price. What was required? required a sacrifice. Not now an animal sacrifice, but Christ gave himself. He was made sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. He paid the price against the penalty for our sins. He bore the judgment. I'm trusting that we're all saved in this room tonight. What a price salvation was purchased at. What a price. I could never put any value on it, really. I can never explain what it meant for Christ to be made sin for me. But I thank God that he did it. He gave himself. He went all the way. And he bearing his cross, went forth. Now this is the one who could have cried for 12 legions of angels. He had such power and authority. And yet here we see the Lord Jesus Christ giving himself. Being abused, as it were, the crown of thorns and the purple robe. This is what man did to him. But when he endured the time of darkness on the cross, the distance, and also when he had to cry out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It was because he was dying there on account. Can you say it, your sins? I'm saying it for myself, my sins. He paid the price. Eventually his precious blood was shed, his soldiers with a spear pierced his side. Forthwith came there out blood and water. And you know the gospel tonight is a message of everything has been completed. It's done. Never again will Christ ever have to suffer on the cross. He's a risen, glorified man, and every believer tonight is waiting with anticipation to see him face to face. We long to hear the voice that could cry out, it is finished. We long to hear it saying, come up, come up. We're going to be with Christ throughout all eternity because of what he has done. How do you stand in relation to it? Would you put your trust in this man tonight? Would you put your trust in him? We often see advertised, would you buy a man a car of this man? Would you believe this man? There are men in this world and women that you'd never trust. But you can trust in the Savior. He never failed. He carried out that work necessary for salvation. He paid the full price. He gave himself. And you know what a wonderful Savior we have to present in this man. He's the only Savior. The only Savior. God would have all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. Do you know him? You might have heard about him, but do you know him? Do you know him personally? Can you say, yes, he's my Lord and Savior? Oh, would to God that tonight you were able to speak in such wonderful terms about this wonderful person. What a man. What a Savior. What joy comes to the heart through simply trusting in him. Oh, that would to God tonight that you would put your trust in the Savior and know the joy of salvation. You can experience it personally. I can only tell you about it. I know my experience. I know the experience of others because they've told me. But tonight, dear friends, you can experience it for yourself. And you might be able to say, well, the half hasn't been told me. The half hasn't been told me. He's such a wonderful, wonderful Savior. Could we sing 149? Save for glory, yes, for glory. By the work of God's blessed Son, save for glory, wondrous story. We believe that Christ has done. Save for glory, saved by Jesus. All our meekness, His alone. Meekness which the Father pleases, ours should be in Christ the Son.